Hello. My name is Dick Swanson, and this session is titled Sadhana, S-A-D-H-A-N-A, Sadhana, an Indian word, which can mean spirituality, spiritual exercise, retreat, or what have you. And the session is based in large part on the work of Anthony DeMello, the late Anthony DeMello, a Jesuit who was the director of the Sadhana Institute of Pastoral Counseling in Pune, India, who died way too prematurely. I think if he'd been 100, it would have been premature. Died in 1987 at age 54 in New York City, where he was leading almost a global retreat. They were using television satellites and so forth, and he is one of the true spiritual masters of our time, Anthony DeMello. And Sadhana is also the name of his basic text. He has written a number of books of exercises, books that you can use yourself to do spiritual exercises at home. We ordered copies of this, and I'm quite sure that they've all been sold out. But they're easy to get. So if you want to take a look at this and write the title down when we're finished, please feel free to do that. I'm especially pleased tonight that we have two children with us, because the kind of thing that we're going to do tonight, which is the exercise of contemplative prayer, is something which is fully accessible to a child or to a person who's 100 years old. And many families are beginning to practice centering prayer and spiritual fantasy work as a family. Works well. But I'll be interested in hearing what they have to say. What are your names? Erica and?
Sean.
Sean?
John.
Erica and John. Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Later this week, we're going to do some of these things with the lions and with the miners and maybe with some of the Narnia people too. So that'll be fun to see how that goes. But welcome, Erica and John. We are accustomed, all of us who are Christian, to praying with words. That's a very common experience. And there will be word images that will form in our minds this evening and words that we will repeat silently tonight. We are not doing centering prayer tonight, which is essentially a kind of wordless prayer. Nor are we doing tithing. That's something we'll talk about again maybe in the coming week. That's another kind of spiritual exercise. But we're going to talk about that process of prayer which is called contemplative prayer, which is not entirely devoid of word images or thoughts and so forth. But I have a couple of stories from Anthony DeMello that may help to set the stage for prayer that does not involve the use of just kind of rational language, like Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, or Abba Ima who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, or Come Lord Jesus be our guest, now I lay me down to sleep, that kind of thing. We're not going to be doing that kind of prayer tonight. Late one evening, a poor farmer on his way back from the market, found himself without his prayer book. The wheel of his cart had come off right in the middle of the woods, and it distressed him that this day should pass without his having said his prayers. So this is the prayer he made. I have done something very foolish, Lord. I came away from home this morning without my prayer book, and my memory is such that I cannot recite a single prayer without it. So this is what I am going to do. I shall recite the alphabet 5 times very slowly. And you, to whom all prayers are known, can put the letters together to form the prayers I can't remember. And the Lord said to his angels, of all the prayers I have heard today, this one was undoubtedly the best because it came from a heart that was simple and sincere. Another story. The Indian sage Narada was a devotee of the Lord Hari, So great was his devotion that he was one day tempted to think that in all the world there was no one who loved God more than he. The Lord read his heart and said, Narada, go to this town on the banks of the Ganges, for a devotee of mine dwells there. Living in his company will do you good. Narada went and found a farmer who rose early in the morning, pronounced the name of Hari only once, then lifted his plow and went to his fields where he worked all day. And just before he fell asleep at night, he pronounced the name of Hari once again. Narada thought, how can this rustic be a devotee of God? I see him immersed all day in his worldly occupations. Then the Lord said to Narada, fill a bowl to the brim with milk and walk all around the city, then come back without spilling a single drop. Narada did as he was told. How many times did you remember me in the course of your walk around the city? Asked the Lord. Well, not once, Lord, said Narada. How could I when you commanded me to watch the bowl of milk? The Lord said, that bowl so absorbed your attention that you forgot me altogether. But look at the peasant who, though burdened with the cares of supporting a family, remembers me twice a day. And just a couple of short ones to remind us about prayer and how we can make a real fetish out of it. A pious old man prayed 5 times a day while his business partner never set foot in the church. And now, on his 80th birthday, he prayed thus, O Lord our God, since I was a youth, not a day have I allowed to pass without coming to church in the morning and saying my prayers at the 5 specified times. Not a single move, not one decision, important or trifling, did I make without first invoking your name. And now, in my old age, I have doubled my exercises of piety and pray to you ceaselessly, night and day. Yet, here I am, poor as a church mouse. But look at my business partner. He drinks and gambles, and even at his advanced age, consorts with women of questionable character. Yet he's rolling in wealth. I wonder if a single prayer has ever crossed his lips. Now, Lord, I do not ask that he be punished, for that would be unchristian. But please tell me, why have you let him prosper, and why do you treat me thus? Because, said God in reply, you are such a monumental bore. And in order to get a little bit out of the mindset that prayer and church always go hand in hand, there was once a woman who was religious and devout and filled with love for God. Each morning she would go to church, and on her way, children would call out to her, beggars would accost her, but so immersed was she in her devotion that she did not even see them. Now one day, she walked down the street in her customary manner and arrived at the church just in time for service. She pushed the door, but it would not open. She pushed it again harder and found the door locked. Distressed at the thought that she would miss service for the first time in years and not knowing what to do, she looked up, and there, right before her face, she found a note pinned to the door. It said, I'm out there. And a little tiny one. Of a saint, it used to be said that each time he left home to go and perform his religious duties, he would say, and now, Lord, goodbye. I am off to church. We're going to move directly into a spiritual exercise. So what I'm going to do is to introduce to you a very simple technique for centering, and almost every time we have these sessions together, this will be something that you will experience. And I share it with you so that you can use it yourself wherever you are, anytime you want to, as a very simple means for coming into the center of your life. So whether or not you want to participate fully in this, that's entirely your right. Whether or not you want to do that, I'm going to ask that everybody close their eyes. So you can do that first. And if I have to open my eyes, which I will because I'm going to watch my little clock here, I will look down and I will not be looking at you. The nice thing about closing your eyes in a group and having everybody with their eyes closed or not looking at you is that nobody's looking at you and you don't have to feel self-conscious at all. And we're going to do this experience for a little longer than 5 minutes and a little shorter than 10. So if you will, squirm around until you're in a position which feels comfortable enough to last about that long. Posture is sometimes important. Some say that if we have erect posture, we are less likely to be distracted. That's a Zen teaching and a DeMello teaching. But sit in a way that you're comfortable, whatever that is. And begin simply to be aware of your breathing. Don't change your breathing pattern. Don't feel that you have to breathe in deeply or breathe out deeply. Just become aware of your breathing. One thing that's always possible is that you will fall asleep. And if you do, you do. And that is your present moment. And if it should be that you hear someone snoring and need to laugh, do it. But then simply thank God for this part of the music of the earth. Become aware of your breathing. Follow your breathing in and out. You may find it helpful to imagine your breathing as a ladder, a series of steps, a kind of a zigzag downward set of steps. With each breath in, each breath out, going more deeply into the center of your life, follow your breathing into your heart. You might want to slide down with each breath. Just stay with your breathing for a few moments longer. Ride the wind of life as it comes in and out, down into the center of your being. Like a feather gently floating down. And now, as you are journeying into your heart, and wherever that is wherever you are, become aware of the fact that you are being accompanied by one of the great teachers in the history of our faith, Saint Teresa of Avila, who lived long ago and in the Lord lives forever. And she will be with you now as you experience what was for her the deepest form of prayer. So prepare yourself for that. Be aware of her presence in your heart. She says, "Imagine Jesus standing before you, looking at you, and then she adds, lovingly and humbly. This is her prayer. See Jesus looking at you lovingly and humbly. Let yourself be looked at. Become aware of all of the things about you that should make Jesus frown or judge. But see Jesus look at you lovingly and humbly. Notice that Jesus sees you. Not any creature of your mind, not the person you want to be, not even the person you think you are. Jesus sees you and looks at you lovingly and humbly. Now Jesus comes directly to you. And touches you. And smiles at you. And says, I love you. Now let this scene stay in your heart with you in the center, in the company of Saint Teresa of Avila, for just a moment longer. And when you are ready, your eyes will open by themselves, and we will all be here again in Koinonia Dining Room. Without prying? Was that an experience that anyone would wish to share? How that was for you?
I enjoyed the images that you kind of directed us with, like the feathers and moving down the stairs. It gives it a little bit of structure, but it still leaves it open to our imagination.
Of course. Thank you. That's right.
I find it hard to sort out the other things that are, my mind isn't exactly quiet. I hear what you're saying, and then there's so many other things that are kind of coming in and out. It's hard to stay focused on that.
Right. Thank you for saying that, because it gives me the opportunity to say that that is always the case. Did anyone not experience any kind of distracting thought or feeling? Nothing at all? Okay. But can you imagine it happening? That something would come in your mind? You were just perhaps in a particular moment in your life when things were very quiet. But for most of us, for most of the time, whenever we do the practice of the present moment through our breathing, or the present of God's love for us, whenever we practice that, distractions occur. And what do we do with them? Do we punish ourselves for the fact that we are not fully attentive? Do we struggle with the fact that we can't get silent, that there must be something wrong with us? The answer is no. The distractions are part of the music of your life. Interruption is not something which is against life. Interruption is life, always. And the way to deal with that is to just simply be aware of it and say, I find it helpful to identify what it is. If I am sitting here and leading this and I become aware of the clock and so forth, then I need to say to myself, thinking about the clock, thank you, which I address to God. It's just simply something that's there. If I'm worrying about whether this experience is going to be good for all of us, I need to just simply say, thinking about ego or thinking about pride, thank you, and just let it be. Anyone else? Jan?
I have trouble seeing Jesus.
That adds a very interesting dimension to this exercise. One could take the same exercise and allow the forgiveness of God to come through significant persons in our lives that we feel have been very judgmental of us, and allow that to come. People that we're sure could not possibly love us because of something that we've done or what have you, and allow Christ's love to come through them. Okay.
Is it necessarily unhelpful to rely on art?
Oh, no.
I mean, El Greco, many of the paintings of Christ to me are very beautiful, and I think of a santo in New Mexico that I'm familiar with. And I let my mind dwell on those, that helpful or not? What do you think?
Sure. The essence of this particular, I'll get you, John, the essence of this particular exercise is however we may see Jesus in whatever form. It could be that whole new cruciform female Jesus on the cross, you know, just spread out with the breasts and the pubic hair and everything, you know, whatever image, then simply see Jesus looking at you lovingly and humbly. How can the one that we're trying to please all the time and feeling we've let down look at us humbly, for example? John? Thank you, John. That's exactly right. There are no rules or right or wrong for what goes on in your heart. And if Jesus is looking at you lovingly and humbly, then with Jesus, it's okay. Thanks. Anyone else? Yes, Diane.
I know for me, I'm a visual person, on the outside, but on the inside, I get really frustrated with images, and so I just sort of quit.
Sure. Rather than see Jesus looking at you lovingly and humbly, you might feel warmth and embrace or something like that, just being enveloped by that. Anyone else? Okay. Why don't you just sort of stretch for a moment or just relax, because we're going to make a little transition into another exercise. I thought tonight we would devote our time rather directly to exercises with a little less talking going on. And your feedback has been very helpful. Anyone want to put anything else in about looking at Jesus looking at you? Any other? Yes.
I felt really comfortable, and I was surprised at that. It was like meeting a friend.
Uh-huh.
And it was very comfortable. I thought really the last going to the exercise. And I thought it was interesting as I came back that I was able to center as well as I was. I didn't think I would.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
My resistance went up and I shook my head when you said to click on your heart. I thought, no, I don't want her. And there I take Jesus before I know what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
This smacks of Catholicism. So I respect, you know, I'm familiar with the exercises, but taking it to my heart. And also I found when you use the second image as a feather, I said to myself, too many images. I have a hard time to visualize the staircase, and I wasn't even finished with that. Then came the feather, and it didn't fit together. So we all function differently, I guess.
Yes, that's true. Everyone sort of clear to move on to another kind of experience? Okay. Perhaps the oldest form of Christian prayer is called hesychasm, H-E-S-Y, chasm, like deep place in the earth, hesychasm. And it's more popularly called the Jesus Prayer. Hesychasm is the repetition of a phrase or a word until it moves from the conscious dimension into our hearts. In about the 3rd century, it was prayed by the hermits who went out into the desert. And it has had several forms over the years, but after it had gone out into the desert, it sort of disappeared. Maybe somewhere around the 5th century, people forgot about it. Until the 19th century in Russia, when it was found that Russian monks in a particular monastery had somehow were connected to the conduit that led from the 3rd century to the 19th century, this original prayer, called essentially the Jesus Prayer. It takes several forms, but probably one of the most, whimsical and uninformed, also compelling statement about it was from J.D. Salinger's book, Franny and Zooey. When Franny and Zooey are having a conversation, and one says to the other, you know, there's this prayer. I think it's called the Jesus Prayer, and you keep saying the name Jesus until, well, something happens down inside. The idea of the Jesus Prayer, as it is practiced by people in contemplative orders, is that one prays the Jesus Prayer unceasingly until finally it prays itself in our hearts. And what we're going to do tonight, if it's new to you, is just have a preliminary experience with it, and you can deal with it as you wish. Before we start, I'm going to read you a couple of things from Scripture about the name of Jesus. The Jesus Prayer, in its longest form that I've ever come across, is Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's too long. I think it's too long. I mean, it's very difficult in your prayer life to become quiet and simply keep repeating that long phrase. I suppose in my own practice, I do it one of two ways. Either Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, or simply, and this is its shortest form, Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you. Do you remember the old gospel hymn? Take the name of Jesus with you, etc., etc. But that's its simplest form. Simply the repetition without thinking, without connecting thoughts. You just simply allow the word to be spoken in the heart. And in the course of our experience this evening, for many of us, it will be introductory. How many of you do the Jesus Prayer? Very interesting. There are about 7 or 8 hands that went up. So you have some sense of that already, how it just sort of seems to move in until it becomes almost like the breathing. And one picks up the rhythm, allowing it to come into tune with the heartbeat or the respiration rate and so forth. But the important thing is to just simply experience it. I don't mean to be dictatorial. The simplest thing that I can suggest to you is simply do it. Think about it later. Ask about it. If you begin to evaluate it in the process, just simply say, evaluating, thank you, and come back to Jesus. No harm will be done. A couple of passages. I'm sure you're familiar with both of them. Acts 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men, women of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers and mothers, glorified Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, comma, by faith in his name, comma, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, if you want this to be a healing experience for you, you can do that. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. It's the power in the name. And this is one example of that. Those of you who just arrived, you didn't have a chance to meet Dr. Kenneth Bakken from Seattle, who is a physician deeply into the deep levels of healing in life and the connectedness with all of life that heals. But we're talking now about what the power of the name. And the other passage is a very short one and probably has occurred to you all. Philippians, the second chapter. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. At the name. So, that's just a little something by way of background. The Jesus Prayer. It may be simplest to say Jesus. Or, Jesus, have mercy. You can try it, if you will, with Jesus, have mercy. By breathing in, and we'll move into that process in a moment, by breathing in, and as you breathe in, simply say Jesus. And allow Jesus to come in. And as you breathe out, have mercy on me. Mercy, have mercy means to simply be gentle and kind. Have mercy on me. And imagine all of that which blocks you from Jesus kind of going out with that. Or if you wish, simply as you breathe in and out, using that as a basic rhythm, say Jesus. Just the name. Any questions before we start? Okay, if you will, just get comfortable because we're going to do this for 5 minutes. And I will lead you with hopefully a little more clarity and focus. If you'll close your eyes. And in a comfortable posture, begin by being aware of your breathing. That is done in order to bring us from all of the yesterdays and tomorrows into the present moment. And despite any distractions, it's comforting to know that when one is listening to one's breathing, one is in the present, because we only breathe in the present. And when any distractions come, simply note them and say thanks. They are part of life. They are not to be feared or fought. And with your breathing, as though it were a feather falling to the earth. Watch your breathing take you to your heart. And there, begin to name the name. Jesus. 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 And when you find yourself thinking about what you are doing, simply say, thinking, thank you, and come back to the repetition of the name Jesus. Now let the prayer begin gently to fade and allow your eyes to open when they will and come back to the room. What we're doing tonight is not in any way meant to be an indictment of praying with words or with our minds. Please understand that. There is nothing wrong with very thoughtful prayer or with struggling in the presence of God with our minds and with our hearts. There is nothing wrong with the liturgies of the church. There is nothing wrong with praying in church at all. What we're doing is simply praying in our very being. Were there words attached to it? What was your experience? Anyone? It can sometimes be very helpful to other people to hear what someone else's experience was. Yes?
It's an all-consuming kind of thing with me. My entire body becomes involved and almost just there's no space around my body. There's no floating kind of sensation.
Thank you.
I had music. I had tremendous, beautiful music.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Occasionally in our church service, we'll have a little thing we say just before the gospel and just after. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah.
There's such power in names. Anyone else? Sometimes we have experiences with that and we say, well, I don't think anybody else would have felt that way.
Well, there's something I've been praying about lately, and unbeknownst to me, I had this vision about that then, in a more extended way than I have prayed about it lately.
Extraordinary. Thank you. Well, I'd like to try one more and a very short one. These are just little tastes of other ways of praying. Praying in sort of non-rational ways. The point of DeMello's stories that we read earlier was that God does not have to be addressed with our thoughts. God can be addressed with simply a raising of the hands, or with dance, or with music, or with art. God can be addressed with simply our being. I really believe the psalm that says the mountains are praising God. And I understand now, a week ago tomorrow night, when I entered the village center before communion, and here we were, the several hundreds of us in the village, going in to commune with each other and with God in the sacrament. And there was a doe that stood by the corner of the village center and watched the hundreds of us walk in there. And I wonder, not about the quality of our prayer, I don't question that at all, but I wonder if there was not in that doe simply being the doe, if there was not a praise of God, fully as rich as ours. I don't want to make comparisons like better or worse, but fully as rich. Well, okay. This is the last one, and we'll keep it down to short. It's 7:45. Not quite. My alarm clock is fast. That's when I get up to run, so maybe I need more time. Keep this one short. This is a prayer which is called the Prayer of Praise. Our lives are filled with all kinds of things, and when we go into silence, into our centering, a variety of images come, always. Maybe this will happen to you this time. But images come, most of the time. It may be a sense of physical pain. It may be something about which we feel guilt. It may be a good and warm feeling. It may be some kind of anxiety about our particular agenda. It may be a thought about, well, here I am, I've just come to Holden Village today, and I still don't quite understand all of the terminology and the places and so forth. and our minds begin to move in those directions. This time, whatever comes, praise God for it. Don't fight it. If it is a feeling of fear or guilt or pain, a memory of something which is distressing, dare to praise God, because it is taught that God can take our deepest sins and, together with all things, have them work together for good. So whatever it is that comes, we don't need to be frightened about it, and we don't have to fight it, and we can just simply say, praise God for this. Or, if you wish, thank you, God, for whatever comes. So all I'm suggesting is that for 5 minutes, whatever comes in your awareness, you thank God or praise God for it. Whatever it is. And let's see what that experience is like. So if you want to wiggle a little bit. Whatever it is now. And if you'll close your eyes. One of the best directions I know for the whole physical mode of contemplative prayer is sit quietly and comfortably. And with eyes closed, become aware of breathing. Don't force it or change its pattern or its rhythm. And follow it in any way that you wish into the center, whether that's up, down, or wherever, into the center of you. And there in the center, just simply be. And whatever comes, thought, feeling, thank and praise God for it. You hear a sound in the next room or anywhere in the building, thank God and praise God for it. If you are aware of the aroma of the room, thank God, praise God. Everything. as you begin to breathe your way back up into your mind being or conscious being or just being here in the room, as you come back into this place, remember Paul saying, give thanks for everything. And let your eyes open as they will. This has been a sampler. Does anyone have any response to that experience of praising God for everything? Did you experience just something like a stream of things coming in? It was almost coming too fast to keep up with it. That was my experience, just a rush of things. Why was that so? I mean, can you put your finger on it for us? Why was it?
Well, I guess it was all the talk about asking for mercy and being gentle with yourself and letting yourself think about everything that's on your mind. So when I think, I try to make the solutions right away and kind of force myself. And that explains to me.
Thanks. It's helpful. Anyone else? Yes.
I appreciate the last exercise most of things because it was more natural.
Okay.
It was not forcing things out of your mind, but accepting things. You were there in your mind.
I appreciate your comment. Let me respond in this way. You can take any of those other exercises and couple it with the prayer of praise. And so when anything comes, whether it's a feeling of being forced or what have you, just simply say, thank you, God, for this. But that's I'm glad that that was a natural experience for you.
When you do that in the other exercises, it seems like that's a way of moving on to something else, a conscious attempt to move on to something else.
For me, I find it a way of moving back into the center, but it's a moving away from following the distraction or something. But yes, I see what you mean. Anyone else? Yes.
I think this last exercise may have given me a way to forgive myself for things. The way my mind works is when I'm free-floating as I was, I go immediately to points of pain, which usually revolve around mistakes I've made that I don't want to forgive myself for. And to turn that experience around and allow the free-floating and make this response to those situations, it's really nice. Great change.
That's really important. Yes.
In regard to thanking God for negative things, I'm unable to do that.
Okay.
I thank God for being with me, being prison, working with, in spite of all.
You know.
And I, you know, giving thanks in all circumstances to me as a thank for.
I think you just did the exercise because you were recognizing God's presence in all of this pain and you were thanking God for that. I preached a sermon in Davenport, Iowa one time on the idea of thanking God for everything. We weren't doing this exercise, and a woman went to the pastor of that parish and said, do you mean that he thinks that I am going to thank God for the fact that my husband died of cancer last year? She never talked to me. I didn't hear about it until maybe a month later. But, I don't know what that means, but God would be in that, and you could do that. So you've helped us on that. The one we did last was the very favorite prayer of Anthony DeMello, and I don't think it will happen in our lifetimes, but I will say again, I really believe that Anthony DeMello will become canonized because his spiritual teaching is having such an incredible impact. And it's just continuing. I mean, even going globally. So, it's Anthony DeMello, little d, Mello, M-E-L-L-O. And most religious bookstores that have a kind of a Catholic orientation will have it. He was a Jesuit. Fordham University has created a DeMello Center. St. Louis University in St. Louis, both Jesuit institutions have created DeMello Centers. And there are books. The stories were from Anthony DeMello. So you met Anthony DeMello tonight. Now we go to Vespers. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.